been off for a little while for some time, but we're coming back with the show. This is Jason, the Ass Master, coming off of a two-week hiatus, a little busy. We've got Bill O'Reilly Cook, who's going to be joining us in a minute once he gets to his mic. While we wait for him, here he is. Just a second. Bill. Bill, can you hear me? Are you coming in through okay? I think he may be having some technical issues. So why don't we just go ahead and get started, and we'll let him get set up. The top story for tonight is a new law that was recently passed in my own state, New York State. This law, which concerns specifically video games, is addressing video game violence, and it enacts a few different things. One of the things it enacts is it's going to try and create an advisory council to advise the ESRB, and it demands that excessively violent video games have warning labels on them, which they already do. That's fine. But one of the really interesting things that this law addresses, and this went into effect today, by the way, is it is now a felony for a store clerk to sell a game that contains excessive violence to underage persons. It's a Class E felony, but that's still pretty shocking. Just a second, I think Bill is coming in. Sorry about this, having a few technical difficulties here. So we'll wait for Bill to get in on us, and we'll get back to this story. Then the other thing I want to move on to tonight is it's a whole slew of information on Uwe Boll. Uwe Boll, famous director for A, making video game-related movies, and B, making horrible video game-related movies. I don't think the man has ever made a good movie in his life. He'll be releasing Postal, the film version of Postal, at the San Francisco Festival. Fantastic Film Festival this August. It'll be August 11th. If anybody wants to fly out to San Francisco to check out Postal, I have some info on the actual game's plot. Let's see here. It stars Dave Foley, which is kind of a surprise. Dave Foley is kind of a big-name actor, and it's strange to see him in a film like this. Dave Foley leads a doomsday cult whose fundraising efforts run afoul of Osama bin Laden and the Taliban, who are currently headquartered behind a convenience store. I'm not making this up. This is actually the plot of the movie. Both factions target a shipment of international superstar Vern Troyer's crotchy dolls. I have no idea what that's supposed to mean. And elsewhere, Postal Dude, our main character, is having a quote-unquote really bad day. Never mind that the game that this is based on was terribly received, but we've got a superstar like Uwe Boll backing it. But this isn't all the news on him. We've also got he's doing the movie based on Far Cry. And he recently put up an eBay auction offering the winning bidder a role in the film. Apparently he thinks that people are actually willing to bid on a chance to be in his movies. It should be noted that whoever gets the winning bid has to pay for their own flight, pay for their own hotel room, but all this for the chance to be in an Uwe Boll movie. And then finally, this is a little bit of a... this is a smaller news piece than the rest of the Uwe Boll stuff. But he's also secured the rights to Alone in the Dark, the sequel, which was his the sequel to the last movie that he made, which bombed horribly. Since we're still having some problems over here, I'm just going to go straight to music for now. We'll come back. Hopefully we'll have Bill on the line, and we'll be able to have some discussion on these stories, plus the rest of the stuff they've got coming up tonight. So stick around. You need to do radio. Let's go to some music. We'll be right back. Castlevania, little Streets of Rage 2 remixes going on there. Let's see if we can get Bill on the line. Bill, can you hear me? Yes, no. I can't hear you, if you can hear me.
Can you hear me?
There, okay, you're starting to come through.
Alright.
There you go. Alright, since you might have missed it, I'll do a quick recap. The first thing I covered was that there is now a law enacted in New York State that makes it a felony for a store clerk to sell an excessively violent video game to a minor. And I'm glad that you're here with us now, because I wanted to discuss with you, like, since we recently, a few shows ago, we recently went over some discussion on some of the fingerprinting and things like that that are going on in game stores, and now we have this felony charge that's available to the state if they want to press charges against somebody for selling a video game. Do you think this could sort of landslide into something bigger?
No, I doubt it.
Do you think that's excessive at all?
How long are people going to be sentenced if they're convicted? That's the question.
Right now, it's not a. I don't seem to have any information on any actual sentencing guidelines. It is a Class E felony, which is the lowest possible one. But you know, do keep in mind that with a felony conviction, you know, you can't vote anymore, you can't buy guns anymore, and all of this for just selling a minor a video game with a certain rating.
Yes, that's what makes hesitate the good thing. It's not, I don't think.
Then, of course, the other, I don't even know if I want to drag this back up, but the other stuff I covered was Uwe Boll and his giant slew of movies. He's got Alone in the Dark 2 on the way, he's got Postal coming out this summer, and he's allowing people to bid on the chance, on the privilege of being in Far Cry, because I guess he can't actually get a real actor to be in one of his movies. Bidding it, placing it up for bids on eBay. What do you think of that guy?
Is he even worth paying attention to anymore?
I don't know. He's a good source of comedy. I mean, it's unusual. I don't know if it's unusual, maybe it isn't, that he has chosen video games as his major market. And yet,
yeah, he should just stop.
But he also consistently makes such terrible movies.
Uh-huh.
And speaking of terrible video game-related movies, we do also have Dead or Alive making a theatrical release this June 15th.
Is it going to have nudity?
I don't have a rating here. I wouldn't be surprised since, you know, I mean, that's what the Dead or Alive series is all about. And I'm actually kind of delighted to bring this one up because it's just so retarded. 20th Century Fox has picked up the rights to make a movie based on The Sims. I want you to try and paint a picture for me about what that could possibly turn into.
Is it going to be about people controlling other people like a game?
I mean, no. There's no story. No story has been set right now. They've just purchased the rights. But you know, you have to wonder.
You asked me to wonder.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to clarify that there is not, in fact, a story yet. So you can go wild.
No thanks.
You can't say I didn't give you a chance.
I already took a chance.
Anyway, let's move on to some upcoming releases. The rumors were true. Warhammer Online, an MMORPG based on the Warhammer universe, is a reality. They are accepting closed beta sign-ups. You can go to... Well, European gamers can go to war-europe.com to find the sign-up page. And American gamers can go to betacenter.eamythic.com to find the closed beta sign up there. It looks like the MMO market is starting to get pretty flooded. And with Warhammer in particular, touching so closely to the World of Warcraft series, I wonder what kind of competition that's going to create.
None at all.
None at all? I beg to differ. I mean, with World of Warcraft having been out for so long, people do eventually leave MMOs, so I think it could pose some kind of a commercial threat for Blizzard.
Well, yes, people do get it eventually.
Then the next...
World of Warcraft.
Excuse me?
Then they might... Who knows?
I finally have some good news for PS3. PlayStation 3 seems to be getting its first pick on Silent Hill 5. It's in the pre-production stages right now. They're looking specifically for large format capacity consoles. And currently, PS3 is the only thing that holds that market. So, who knows? Maybe Sony will finally have a nice exclusive. The Silent Hill series has done really, really well, except for Part 4. And even that was passable, I suppose. So, who knows? Maybe things could turn around for Sony. And speaking of turning around, here comes American McGee out of nowhere. After the disaster that was Bad Day LA, American McGee is having a new series of games. These will be digitally distributed over GameTap. It's going to be a 24-episode series based on the Brothers Grimm Tales. People really starting to go so crazy over digital distribution? Or is it just specifically that he could otherwise not get a publisher or a large enough market for a standardly published game?
Do people even respond well to episodic content? So besides Half-Life 2, of course.
Half-Life 2 hasn't even, hasn't really made its market in that format either. I mean, they were sort of not quite the pioneers, but the ones who were trying to popularize it. But so far, I mean, we've waited, over a year for Episode 2? I think part of the whole point of episodic content was to reduce development times Sam and Max has been somewhat successful. Their episodic series has been receiving a lot of praise, and they've been pretty timely about it. But then on the other hand, there was Sin episodes, for example, which ended up getting canned, and those of us, including me, who bought into the first episode are now kind of screwed because we'll never get to play the rest of the series. But what's really weird about this one, though, is 24 episodes. I should point out specifically this 24 episodes, essentially the way he describes the gameplay is mini-games. I'll give the quick description right now. It says each episode revolves around a single fairy tale. Accomplishing goals is accomplished through mini-games involving simple game mechanics such as flying, driving, sneaking, hurting, etc. One thing he is trying to introduce, and I guess this could be kind of cool, although I don't expect it to work out, he says that you literally use words as weapons. It seems you can grab words from out of the story and literally hurl them as weapons at enemies. I don't even know what to make of this. Like, I mean, he's done some really weird concepts in the past, but gameplay-wise, they were always really, really simple games, and it looks like this is following the same vein. So what do you see about, like, the possible success of this in the future?
I give it lasting before it. Then it'll be.
I'm sorry, lasting for a what? Four episodes, you think? I don't know, yeah, 24 is indeed pretty ambitious. There's no indication on pricing yet. Maybe if it's priced low enough, possible success there, especially for the casual gaming market. But it looks like we'll have to see. We're going to go to some more music. We'll come back in a few minutes. Unidoom Radio, stick around. Right, coming back. That was two tracks. That was a little Unreal Tournament remix, followed by a little Toe Jam and Earl remix, old favorite game of mine. Let's see, what else we got coming up? More new releases. Well, I mean, the one everyone's talking about lately, and I'm sure it bears no mention, it's fresh in everybody's mind. StarCraft II was recently announced after nearly 10 years without a sequel. We have a sequel coming to StarCraft. Blizzard has been a little bit tight-lipped about what kind of features are going to be included. We did see a gameplay video recently. So far, it looks like they're focusing specifically on the Protoss race. They did make some announcements, and much to some people's disappointment, Protoss, Terran, and Zerg are still the only playable races. So we won't be seeing any Zelnaga, for example, which are some of the things that people have been expecting based on StarCraft and Brood War's original plot. Some of the other things they will be adding, though, let's see. Man, I really should have prepared this a little better next time. They said, you know, of course, they'll be trying to support the competitive scene even more this time, along with Battle.net, which has been, like, a major fueling source for the original StarCraft's success. One of the problems so far, though, is they don't think... There's no specific release date yet. It will probably not be 2007. A little bit unfortunate. Speaking of other upcoming stuff, we've got id Software, everybody's favorite id Software. We all love id Software. What's one of the things they're coming up with now? We've heard some news recently, not recently, even as far as a year back, that id is coming up with a new game based on a new franchise. Some more details have leaked out about that. There's no specific name yet or theme yet. It will, of course, be a first-person shooter. One of the things that they have mentioned, though, that they will not be using the Doom 3 engine. This time we'll be using a new engine developed by... John Carmack, of course. Now, in the past couple of years, we've seen kind of a decline in the staying power, I guess I want to say, of its games, and they've become kind of more of an engine licensing company than a real game-making company. I mean, Bill, do you disagree on that, or...?
I agree with you.
Can you speak up a little bit, or are you...
Well, they all talk out, so the mic...
Okay. But you do, in fact, agree that they are no longer in the game-making business for making great games. They're just licensing engines and making all of their money off of that.
Well, they may be trying to make great games, but are they being successful? I don't think so.
You don't think so? I mean, we've got even though we've got Enemy Territory Quake Wars coming up, and that's surely to be a huge hit. There's a fact that they're still doing FPS... sort of display some kind of stagnant, you know, is it indicating that they are losing their magic, so to speak? Or do you think they should actually
really
focus on
so.
That? You don't really think so?
Because FPS is still a huge market.
Well, it is, but like that sort of, in a sense, it's great because, you know, this is what they've always done from the very beginning, not counting, you know, Commander Keen, okay. They've always done first-person shooters, but given that the last few have not been as popular as we might have originally anticipated. Perhaps it's time for them to move on to a new genre or sort of expand the horizons a little bit?
It depends if they can be any good at anything else.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, actually. Let's see. Not quite an upcoming release, but just a nice little note. If you are, in fact, a Steam owner and you do not own Half-Life 2, but you do own a Radeon card, you can... or Valve has now allowed Radeon card owners to download free copies of Lost Coast and Half-Life 2 Deathmatch. Originally, you needed to play for HL2 Deathmatch, and Lost Coast was always free, but you had to own Half-Life 2 already. So if you are a Steam user, and you don't already have these games, but you do have a Radeon card, you might want to hop on and check that out. Moving right along... Oh, this is right. This one's not recent news, but I want to bring this up because it ties into some of the Jack Thompson-esque things that we tend to cover a lot on this show. Manhunt 2 is coming out for the Nintendo Wii. And, of course, they're taking advantage of the Wii's controls. This is a specific example of the kind of things you'll be doing in the game. Using the Wii remote and nunchuck, you will, for example, literally be simulating... using a pair of pliers to, not making this up, tear off somebody's testicles. You know, this is an example. Now, Manhunt, you know, that's just kind of the kind of game it is. Kind of surprising to see it on the Nintendo Wii, since the Wii is always, like, not the Wii, the Nintendo has always been seen as kind of the family company, and now the casual gaming market company. Could this sort of backfire? Because it's kind of obvious that they want to expand their user base. We want to include the hardcore gamers, since hardcore gamers have kind of balked at the Nintendo line as being sort of too kiddie. But could having a game of this degree of violence, you know, kind of backfire and end up clashing with their current image?
One game where you can rip off... That's really going...
I mean, no, just keep in mind, we're no longer pressing buttons. Somebody's actually going to be performing this motion. Like, it's very visceral, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I bet the interface designers really know what it feels like to tear off.
Well, I mean, I'm not arguing with that, but, like, as much... I mean, I'm sure people know I'm a huge fan of Nintendo, probably too much, but I myself would sort of wonder if this is a great move, because I wouldn't want them attracting too much... I mean, I expect Manhunt to attract a whole bunch of negative press. It's just... it's impossible that it won't. So with this extra layer of interactivity and this kind of interactivity, I myself think it may not be a great idea. Well, I guess we'll have to see, of course, how things turn out. But I thought I would bring that up, considering we tend to tackle a lot of legal issues on this show.
They obviously can let whoever they want to make games for it, and if they think it's a good idea, let them do it.
That is a valid point. I mean, we shouldn't be self-censoring ourselves at all. But you know, it's just something to think about, and I think it's definitely something to watch in the coming months. I probably won't play it myself because, frankly, I thought Manhunt sucked, but let's see.
Why is that? You didn't get to tear off people's testicles?
Besides that, no, I just personally thought it wasn't a very well thought out game. I thought it depended too much specifically on its gore and the game mechanics itself. It was essentially, when you get right down to it, it was sort of a Metal Gear Solid style stealth game, but the stealth aspect sort of interfered with the fact that you had to kill everybody in a level. I just didn't think it worked out very well. I didn't think it was very well planned out outside of the gore factor. I mean, I don't know if you've played it yourself.
I have not.
Okay. To counter some of the discussion that went on about the Warhammer MMORPG and some of the other upcoming MMOs, Sega recently closed down its Chinese online division, and of course Asia's a huge market, even bigger than here for MMOs, but they recently closed down their online games market in Japan. Apparently, they have frankly just weren't doing very well. They've released a few different online games. These are all MMOs, including Tong Tong Online and Rainbow Knight. I'm sure nobody here has heard of those, but a little bit surprised that a market that really buys into those kinds of games rejected a particular company to the point where it had to close down one of its divisions. So who knows, maybe we can see some kind of developments like that here.
They easily pirated or all online?
Excuse me?
They easily be pirated?
No, these were all MMOs, so of course, I mean, I'm assuming you could probably pirate the client software, but apparently they just couldn't get enough people playing. But you're saying that because China loves to pirate games. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Why else would id sell the rights? Asian sell Doom.
I heard something about this, but this is not something I know a whole lot about. Could you go into more detail about the...
Not really, because that's really the only thing it says in Masters of Doom, really. All it does is say that they sold the rights to Doom, to sell Doom to pirates in Asia for $1 a copy, so that they could feel legitimate.
No, that's actually... I think that's actually a really good strategy. I remember when... this doesn't specifically apply to games, it just applies to copywriting in general, because of the situation we have here now with so much litigiousness, a couple of people, and I'm kind of on the fence on this, but I think it's an interesting idea at the very least, is to have a tax added to ourselves, to every citizen in the U.S., for the right to freely copy copyrighted content. This way, content owners still get money, but we don't have the constant lawsuits and the extremely strict digital management systems that we have now.
Well, what there needs to be is a revision of the copyright law that doesn't completely restrict fair use, like the Digital Millennium Copyright Act and various bills like that.
Now, when you say fair use, what kind of things are these acts hindering currently?
Oh, I'm talking making a backup copy for yourself. I mean, a lot of DRM doesn't make that possible. Also, consider that less tech-savvy people who, say, buy music online, which is protected by DRM, they might end up with four or five copies of the same song, all with different types of DRM.
That is a good point. I remember I was reading an article, this was a long time ago, but it still stands now, by Bill Gates himself, who he himself says that, and this to illustrate, and your point illustrated what he says, is that nobody has done DRM correctly yet. It's always a hassle for the end user, no matter what kind of implementation people are currently using, including, like, what you just brought up, which is, like, you know, the same song from five different distributors that require five different licenses. I guess you actually are right that there needs to be some kind of reform in the way that we're approaching digital distribution and digital rights, since it really just doesn't fall into the same realm as physical property.
Exactly. You mean real property.
Real property, that's correct. Let's see. All right. We're going to, ticking close to the end of the show. We're going to go to some music, and then we'll be right back. Make sure to stick around. I can't believe I didn't mention it until now. I should have mentioned it before, and this is kind of my fault. I should have mentioned that, you know, callers are indeed, anyone who's interested in discussing some of the topics that we're covering, feel free to please contact me on Skype. Can you look me up using the username AskMaster? Or I will show up as... What? You've been seeing me using that name for years. You should be used to it by now.
Yeah, but you're the one who hates it.
I sort of hate it. And I'll show up as Jason Masivas, so you know it's me. Believe it or not, there's other people using that name on Skype. Please give me a call. We'll put you on the air, and we'll have ourselves a little chat about any of the topics that we have here tonight, or just gaming in general. Let's go to music. We'll be right back. Unidoom Radio.
Disco.
we are back. I just thought I'd mention that last song there was not a remix. It was, in fact, straight from Silent Hill. I can't get enough music from that game. All right, so let's see. Next on the agenda, we're approaching the end of the show, so we'll do a couple of quick things. First, I just thought I'd mention real quick that the womengamers.com, the people running the site, have given a scholarship to two girls, actually, for writing winning essays. They'll be heading to the National Computer Camp, free of charge, of course. Their ages are 16 and 12. The idea is to get more women involved in gaming. That's the entire goal of womengamers.com. So for the one or two females who may be listening to this show who are into gaming, I think there's at least one or two of you out there. You might want to check out womengamers.com. I think it's a pretty cool idea to try and expand a subject that was normally, for so many years, attributed solely to the male market. Moving on to some community news, first I'd like to mention that Eternity Engine should be seeing a release hopefully soon. Apparently Cardboard, Estragon Meth's new rendering engine, is in fact complete. You can get it right now, actually, from the SVN site. Just check out Mancubus. I believe it's eternity.mancubus.net. And you can check out the there should be an SVN link there, and you can compile it. Or, of course, you could wait for a release. Quasar, James Haley, is still programming some of the features here and there. And this is the exciting news. We are going to have, or I certainly hope we're going to have, James Quasar Haley on the show next week. We'll have a chance to discuss a few things with him about Eternity Engine, of course, plus his next upcoming project, which is Death EE, Doom Editor for Total Head Cases, Eternity Engine, which is going to handle, among other things, among being just ported to Windows, is also going to handle one of the major stumbling blocks for Eternity Engine editors, which is that so far there is no Doom editors that support what's called extra data, which is an extension of some of Doom's lines functions that Quasar has added to the Eternity Engine. So now that he's working on this specific editor, those of us who like to edit for Doom specifically for Eternity will finally have a chance to do so without having to jump between three or four different programs. Bill, you on the line? I think I just lost Bill Cook. All right, we'll wait for him to get back. Maybe he had to use the bathroom or something. Let's see. Looks like that's all we've got for releases. The only other interesting release that we have coming up, and this is going to be far into the future, but I think it's a cool idea. EA, Electronic Arts, everyone cringes when they hear the name, but, you know, they do have a couple of good developers signed underneath them. It's going to be eventually releasing Tom Clancy's new game called Endgame. It's going to be a real-time strategy, which is kind of different for a Tom Clancy game. Usually they're first- and third-person shooters. The unique feature to Endgame is that it's going to use voice commands for controlling units rather than some of the excessively complicated sort of interfaces that we tend to see in a lot of modern games and which are starting to corrupt real-time strategy games. So it'll be interesting to see how that develops. I don't know how people are going to want to pick up on voice-controlled games, being that they must actually shout at their PC, their console, and whatnot. But we'll see how that develops.
It was a nice fad a few years ago. You remember Roger Wilco?
No, I do not remember that game. Enlighten us, please.
No, it was a program that allowed you to voice control any game. You could essentially try to teach it to do certain commands based on a certain voice command. And it was popular with my friends, well, maybe one of them at least, for like a few months, and then he realized, you know, why should I do this when I can just use a mouse and a keyboard?
Really? That's interesting. I've never heard of this before. Did you get a chance to try this out yourself?
Well, no, because I didn't want to bother with it.
Well, I mean, like, what kind of functions what kind of games did he use it with?
Used it with MechWarrior 3.
Hmm.
And probably some RTSs. I don't know if people really played those a whole lot.
Now, what ended up being sort of the failing? Because I know I have MechWarrior 3 myself. I know it uses every key on the keyboard. It's one of the problems people have playing that particular game and all the games in that series. So, what ended up being the stumbling block that killed this program for him, even though it could potentially have made certain things easier.
Inability to recognize voice commands accurately. You'd end up shouting the same command 3 or 4 times, and maybe it would work.
That is a good point. I wonder if things have improved since then as far as voice recognition. I remember that. I know that's a problem for a lot of, like, the old Microsoft Office-type stuff that was released in the past, when people realize, you know, why shout a command at the computer when I can just type so much faster?
Well, right now, the native Office voice recognition is supposedly very good, on par with separate commercial voice recognition applications.
Well, maybe that's some good news then. Maybe Tom Clancy's new game, Endgame, will turn out to be a little bit of a success now that what seems like technology that has improved is implemented.
Yes, I think it has made a bit of a leap over the last few years, so it may become reliable.
All right. Well, we are approaching the end of the show. Just want to mention real fast, like I mentioned a few minutes ago, we are, in fact, planning to have Quasar, James Haley, programmer of the Eternity Engine, on next week. Hopefully he doesn't bail. I certainly won't hit it and bail if I can help it. So everyone should definitely stay tuned for that. I'd especially love to have some callers sort of call in and maybe ask him some questions, and we can try and get EE out into the open more now that it's being developed further into a really, really robust engine. Before we go, Bill, is there anything you'd like to say? Bill?
Can't hear me.
Sorry. You're kind of cutting up there a little bit.
Yeah. I'm probably taxing my upstream bandwidth.
I see.
All
right.
All I have to say is get Ralph's computer off of what we can do.
You got cut off there again, but I got the impression of what you're saying, that yes, we normally depend on somebody else's computer. Things have been a little flaky and up in the air right now since a lot of stuff has happened with the station. But, you know, hopefully we do get that worked out sometime in the future. I know specifically that some people in Unidoom have been talking about renting out a general-purpose dedicated server. Its original intention was specifically for gaming, but depending on who wants to put what kind of money into this, and it looks like it's going to happen at some degree anyway, who knows, in the future we might actually have a really decent service going on here. In the meantime, I guess we'll have to sort of deal with these sticky little issues here and there.
People can always listen to the show in the recorded version.
That's correct. I'm glad you brought that up. I would like to mention, right before we sign off the air, you can always download previous versions of my show at the Unidoom forums. Just go to unidoom.org. All previous recordings of my shows are linked in the designated radio forum, and everyone should definitely check those out if you're having trouble, say, connecting due to bandwidth issues or whatever. You can always go there, unidoom.org.
Not that those people who are having trouble right now could hear you.
Sorry about that. But we're going to sign off now. Remember, this is, speaking of unidoom.org, this is, in fact, Unidoom Radio. Don't forget that. We'll be back next week. I don't think Ralph has any programming of his own planned for this week. Maybe that'll change. We'll keep you guys posted. Always check out Unidoom, pound Unidoom, on irc.oftc.net, or you can reach myself or Bill Bloodshedder Cook over on poundzdoom, irc.oftc.net. We're going to sign out with my theme music.
Just a second.
Huh?
Are we going to be 8 p.m. or 9 p.m. next week?
I would like to move to 8 p.m. if that's okay.
9 p.m.
I would like to move to 9 p.m. if that's okay with you.
All right, that's fine.
All right, well, great. So next week, Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which is GMT-5. Definitely check us out. Here's our theme music to take us out. Good night, everybody.
Good night.